Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Well, I mean, we have fashion weeks 5 times a year, and we just had one in August, and I didn't see a big change.
Fashion Week kicks off in Los Angeles, but did anybody notice? Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 6, 2009. I'm Pete Griffin. President Obama is getting some Republican support on health care from California's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Albert Sabate reports.
Governor Schwarzenegger praised President Obama's efforts to reform the nation's health care system. He says health care needs to be tackled through bipartisan cooperation and urged fellow Republicans to move forward in achieving reform. As a Republican, he has seemed more liberal on social issues. Schwarzenegger says he shares Obama's concerns about rising health care costs. He thinks reform will ensure a strong economic recovery. Schwarzenegger is now among other prominent Republican politicians to support Democrats' health care reform efforts, including Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist and New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. The health care bill is being reviewed by the Senate Finance Committee. The committee is expected to vote on it in the coming days. Albert Sabate, Annenberg Radio News.
A group of L.A. emergency room healthcare professionals is pushing the governor to crack down on ammunition sales. Bill AB-692 was introduced by Assemblyman Kevin DeLeon of Los Angeles. The bill mirrors an L.A. law, which makes it illegal to sell handguns to criminals. The bill would also prevent gang members who have an injunction against them from possessing handgun bullets.
We have some of the toughest gun laws in the country. However, a gun is a vehicle of delivery. A gun is not useful if, in fact, it doesn't have ammunition. So ammunition is a lifeline. It's the lifeblood, if you will. It's the oxygen for a handgun. And if we don't regulate the sale and purchase of handgun ammunition, if we don't know who sells it, we don't know who purchases it, then we have our communities, particularly low-income neighborhoods, poor communities that are infested by gangs and gang violence. We have ammunition, you know, that's pervasive through every crack and crevice in the city, throughout the state of California.
De Leon's bill has passed the state legislature. Governor Schwarzenegger hasn't said whether he will sign it. Welfare officials presented a plan to the Board of Supervisors that would reduce the number of people applying for county welfare. Many disabled and mentally challenged people are eligible for a state program called SSI, but instead they file for county general relief funds. Susan Shannon, an activist with the Coalition to End Hunger and Homelessness.
That person who's on general relief would only bring in about $221 a month as their benefit, as opposed to somebody who, if they're eligible for SSI and they are mentally ill or they do have a physical disability, would bring in upwards of over $800.
The logic behind the plan is to spend money to save money. It would cost more than $7 million to help eligible recipients make the switch, but welfare officials say the plan will eventually save the county much more. The Station fire has finally been stamped out, but that doesn't mean the danger is past. Timothy Beckworth has more on the fallout from the biggest fire in LA history.
The U.S. Geological Service issued dire warnings for the neighborhoods around the burned-out San Gabriel Mountains. If it rains this winter, and it always does, storms could trigger massive mudslides. USGS researcher Susan Cannon says these raging torrents of water and debris can ruin property and end lives.
These debris flows can happen very rapidly and in response to very little rainfall. So being prepared to move once it starts raining is very important.
The USGS has evaluated the likelihood of mudslides in different storm scenarios. These tests show which areas would be in the path of mudslides during the rainy winter season. The USGS is working with the Forest Service and LA County to prepare for the worst. Forest fires have caused deadly mudslides in the past, and none of those blazes were as big as the Station fire. Cannon says residents should be aware of the dangers.
The 2003 fires in the San Gabriel Mountains were large fires that burned terrain that's very similar to the San Gabriel, then impacted by a storm on Christmas Day, and that storm triggered debris flows and killed 16 people.
The National Weather Service will issue emergency warnings to at-risk areas when the time comes. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
Now to weather. We can expect clear skies tonight with light winds and a low of 56. Tomorrow's forecast shows another sunny day with highs in the 70s. And Thursday will be sunny as well with highs in the mid-70s and lows in the 50s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, a new study questions how effective the anti-fast food law will be in South Los Angeles. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa joined designer Max Azria this morning to mark the start of Los Angeles Fashion Week. Neela Jamie reports on how the mayor hopes this will help the struggling economy.
Models, fashionistas, and fashion designers such as Max Azria and Randolph Duke join Mayor Villaraigosa to celebrate the beginning of LA Fashion Week. Villaraigosa pitched the runway show as a way to bring money to the city. He says it will bring buyers from all over the world to LA.
Fashion is a $28 billion industry. It's the fourth largest basic industry in the region. More than 200,000 people are employed in work, which involves designing, producing, and selling. This includes our creative talent, many of whom are here today, designers, fashion stylists, and retail sales. 53,000 buyers and exhibitors come to the Fashion District annually during Market Week, and they spend approximately $50 million every year at LA area hotels, restaurants, and transportation.
But Emmy Mizioc, the owner of Joke & Style, says she's not sure Fashion Week will do that much for the economy.
Well, I mean, we have Fashion Weeks 5 times a year, and we just had one in August, and I didn't see a big change. So unless he knows something I don't know what's going to happen for this month.
Mizioc says it's hard for LA fashion designers to compete in the global marketplace.
The only way to compete with everybody else is to go to China or Mexico. You know, I draw the line with India because I know that they're still using kids, and that I can't do. But we can't, America prices, we can't compete with them. You know, again, catch 22. You want it to be American made, you want to support your country, you want to employ your friends and everybody has a job, but you can't. You know, whatever is paying, we're paying $5 here is 50 cents there.
But Villaraigosa says it's important for the city to support LA manufacturers and designers.
At a time when 13.7% unemployment rate, we've got to do everything we can to support this industry and create the jobs that we need.
Elsie Metchik, president of the California Fashion Association, says LA's Fashion Week displays streetwear that's affordable. She says that makes it a good show during a recession.
We call it in the industry, we call it the lipstick index. When you have a distressed economy, the way it is right now, people get tired of not spending on anything. You get tired of saying, I can't afford it. You do it at your age, I do it at my age. But we can't afford a new car, and we can't afford a new house, and we might not be able to afford a new Louis Vuitton handbag. But we can afford lipstick, and we can afford a new t-shirt, we can afford a new pair of jeans, and it all starts with apparel.
LA Fashion Week goes from October 12th to the 31st. Clothing from the show will retail in department stores and boutiques around the city. Neela Jamie, Annenberg Radio News.
What can we do to make South LA healthier? New fast food restaurants are currently banned in South LA. But a study suggests that this might not be the real problem. Ariel Edwards-Levy reports.
That's a nutrition problem. More than a quarter of its residents are obese, 8% more than residents of wealthier neighborhoods. It's easy to place the blame solely on greasy, caloric fast food. That's why, last July, the city council passed a measure severely limiting new fast food restaurants being built in some of the poorest areas of LA. But the RAND Corporation, a Santa Monica-based think tank, says that's not the real problem. Researcher Deborah Cohen says South LA actually has fewer fast food eateries per person than other areas, but twice as many convenience stores.
People in South LA actually consume more calories from sodas, salty snacks, cookies, and candy. And those are the items that are most prominent at these convenience stores and small groceries. And so we think the problem is more likely to be having to do with those outlets rather than fast food outlets.
Councilmember Bernard Parks, who represents South LA's 8th District, supports the restrictions. He says the figures in the study don't reflect the reality of life in the area.
Live in South Los Angeles and you find the only outlets for food outside the home are primarily fast food, and there's no access to fresh farmers markets as they have in other communities, you're very limited as to what you can eat.
And, he says, there's an underlying reason why convenience stores flourish.
There are no grocery stores. If there are grocery stores that fill the void that is currently there, there would not be a place nor a need to trade at the number of convenience stores that are there.
South LA has fewer grocery stores in other areas, and those that are there offer inferior choices. Mary Lee works with PolicyLink.
We sometimes make the joke that you see brown vegetables and green meat in these stores. The meat is expired. Milk, produce, all these things are spoiled or near spoiled. So you're getting inferior goods and you're paying more for them.
Experts call urban Los Angeles a food desert. They say, after the LA riots, many stores simply didn't return to the area. Some people don't even have any nearby supermarkets and have to rely instead on nearby bodegas. Cohen says this makes it more likely that residents will opt for unhealthy snacks.
I think people do try to go out of their way, but it's not easy to go out of your way all the time.
Grocery chains say it's tough to build new stores, even in vacant areas. Dave Halen is with the California Grocers Association.
To put in full-sized supermarkets, you need about 4 to 5 acres of land. And to be able to find that amount of land open is a bit of a challenge.
The lack of grocery stores hurts the South LA economy, forcing residents to keep spending their money far from their own neighborhoods. It also hurts residents' health. Dr. Lavonna Lewis, who directs USC's Masters of Health Administration program, says poor diets can lead to obesity and diabetes.
Talk about South LA, we're talking about a community that already has an additional burden of chronic disease. And so if there are types of lifestyle choices, nutrition, physical activity that people have to take or make, and they can't do it easily, I think it just has kind of long-term kind of consequences on people's health.
More and better stores could mean healthier residents, healthier communities, and healthy profits for stores. And that's a sweet ending for everyone. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Local community organizer Alberto Retana has been named the new director of community outreach for the Department of Education. I had a chance to talk to him about his new job with the Obama administration and to see exactly how he plans to reach out to communities on a national level. So we are here with Albert Retana, the new director of community outreach for the Department of Education. Thanks for joining us today on Annenberg Radio News.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so first and foremost, congratulations to you on joining the Obama administration.
Thank you very much. It's an exciting moment in history, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Are you ready for Washington?
I hope I am. I've been doing community organizing for 11 years and been very much connected to the lives of real people. I hope that I can take that experience with me and be effective on the inside as we've been effective on the outside.
So now, do you go into the job with concerns about political backlash for any projects you plan to start?
Not at all. I think that the projects that we'll be working on is incorporating the ideas of family, students, and community members in what needs to be happening in public education. And so I don't worry about the backlash. You're always going to have people that are resistant to change, but I think that the American people are more than ready to move on the kinds of changes we need in public education.
So what exactly is community outreach in the Department of Education? What will your role be in doing that?
My primary function is going to be to do community outreach in every part of the country, to get parents and students and families to have a voice and have a say in what happens. I think that from involving folks in legislative hearings to figuring out ways that communities can get involved in addressing some of the problems that our kids are facing in school, like the dropout crisis.
So it looks like you've been pretty active when it comes to community organizing in South LA. For our listeners that maybe aren't as familiar with you, talk about some of your achievements.
Community Coalition is an organization I work in South Los Angeles, and we've worked on a variety of educational issues one of which is a critical one in L.A. We were able to pass a resolution in the L.A. Unified School District that aligns our graduation requirements with college entrance requirements. So for many years, people would graduate high school and realize that they couldn't apply to Cal State L.A. or UC Irvine, for that matter, or an out-of-state college because they didn't meet the requirements. They had good grades, they took the SATs, but they didn't have the courses available to them in their school. So what we essentially did is we standardized the curriculum so that every student takes the classes necessary and is prepared for them. I think that that's a huge achievement on our part, and hopefully is going to reduce the achievement gap that exists between African American and Latino students and white students when it comes to college going rates in the district.
So now you're able to do this on the grassroots level in South LA. How do you think you're going to be able to do this on a national level, applying it to other cities?
Well, I believe that, I think a couple of things. One, I think that the American people in general are thirsty for change, and given the right opportunity and the right space, would get involved in trying to advance what they see as their vision for better schools. Oftentimes, policies are done from the top down, and communities are never really involved. And it's created a distrust in our approach to solving problems. But I think that if we create the space for folks to get involved, to voice their opinion, to participate in the process and have a real voice, then we can really move some things forward. And I believe and I know that this administration fundamentally believes in not just top-down, but in working from the bottom up.
Alberto Retana will be joining the Obama administration in November. Green LA is the city's plan for cutting pollution and creating green jobs, and is getting attention from the Obama administration. Jessica Flores spoke with the Natural Resources Defense Council about making Green LA a model for other cities.
Los Angeles is the home to dirty skies and car-congested streets, but LA's response to its environmental problems is serving as a new guide for the Obama administration. This week, he ordered federal agencies to set stricter environmental standards, modeling the new standards after the Green LA program. Within 90 days, federal agencies have to make plans to reduce vehicle fuel by 30% before 2020 and increase recycling by 50% before 2015. Both these moves follow Green LA 2007 measures. The federal government is the country's leading energy user, and the Natural Resources Defense Council's press secretary, Jessica Lass, says Washington is on the right track.
And all of these programs are designed to reduce emissions, which cause carbon dioxide pollution, which are known to be a global warming emission.
It's no coincidence that the mandate looks a lot like Green LA measures. Former Deputy Mayor Nancy Solte directed the program and is now heading the White House Council on Environmental Quality. That council will be responsible for approving environmental goals set by the agencies. Lass says LA's program isn't just sending a message to Washington, it's a model for other cities too.
It's sending a message to other cities around the country to say if LA is adopting this progressive program to dramatically reduce the emissions contributed within our city, this program can definitely be implemented in various cities around the country.
There is no set estimate at how much this program might cost, but White House officials say they aim for the program to be self-sustaining. This is Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Carlos Salcedo to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. What do you got for us, Carlos?
Hey, Pete. Well, we're following a very tragic story. Police are searching for a hit-and-run driver that killed an elderly woman and her dog in Montebello. We spoke with the victim's friends and family who say the 84-year-old had the spirit of a 24-year-old.
Thanks for the update, Carlos. That wraps it up for us today at Annenberg Radio News. I'm your host, Pete Griffin. Have a good one.